This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
I wanted to start with the Alice Cooper song, Welcome to My Nightmare.
Oh, why?
I don't know, because I like that song.
Oh.
Welcome to My Nightmare.
Well, if you have connections at Alice Cooper Management.
Yes, I do not. Okay. I met him once in an elevator. Really didn't meet him.
In an elevator with him.
With him at the same time. I don't think we actually. Yeah. That's not one of my rock stories. I have some good ones, you know.
Yeah,
I told a few.
Hopefully not love in an elevator, right?
No, not that one.
He's a car guy, right?
He's a car guy and a golfer.
Oh, ooh, right.
Apparently. Very good one,
yeah,
I
apparently
understand.
Good golfer. Anyway, welcome to the show, the Classic Auto Mall Show, coming to you from Morgantown, Pennsylvania at the Classic Auto Mall, which is our home base and our business and our livelihood and how we get to do this because of that.
Right.
Right? If it weren't for that, this would have no relevance.
I mean, if there was a bed here, I'd probably spend the night.
Well, Garrett may have an extra, he may have a cot in the camper out there.
We do have a hotel connected. Well,
yeah, 188 rooms, and I can get you a deal, maybe, possibly. I might be able to get you a little.
A monthly.
I've stayed many times. It's a wonderful hotel.
Actually. It is a wonderful hotel.
They fill it up there when there's events out here, though.
They fill it up when there's not events. I mean, You got to realize there's not many hotels on the turnpike coming down. You don't just like see every exit, and all of a sudden, it's like, here's the Holiday Inn, and if you're going eastbound, the exit is right. You know, you've got enough time to see it, think, oh, that's where I want to go. And then you can get off the exit. And then you've got the casino and us and the Holiday Inn. So anyway, welcome to the show number 133. Hard to believe, but I don't feel like I know any more or less about doing this. I think I'm still in the same stratosphere.
Right.
Or whatever.
Again, this is your break in the day.
Just get away and not have to think about taking phone calls and doing all the things we do and the spreadsheets and all that fun
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking of getting away, you're just back from the West Coast or Mountain Time,
Colorado. We went to Keystone. And what a wonderful place.
Is that a
place.
Town? Keystone, Colorado?
Yeah, it's a town. Of course, we went on Thursday when they were getting the record 4 feet of snow.
Oh, nice.
You flew into that?
And we flew into snow, into Denver, and we got our rental car. We rented a car through Turo, which is you rent other people's cars. It's like an Airbnb for cars.
Mm-hmm. Are the cars at the parking lot?
They're parking lot at the airport. Oh, okay. They used to put them in the parking garage at the airport. Apparently, there was theft and things like that. So now they have it like a park two zone or parking spot or one of those places. We rented like a Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
And of course, that's the smart thing to rent anytime you go to Colorado, unless you're going in the dead of summer. And the GPS, we came out of there. Normally, it's about a 2 hour drive from Denver to Keystone.
Okay.
We came out and put the GPS on 5 hours and 80 minutes or 5 hours and 30 minutes. And they had us rerouting. And then we went up through Golden. And they rerouted us from there, and then there was a roadblock, and we turned around, and 70 was shut down. I-70 going up to Keystone and all the ski resorts was the interstate was shut down, including the tunnel. And they said they were going to route us like 3 hours south. To come around the back way.
Nothing like a 5 hour drive after a 5 hour what a 5 hour flight.
Yeah, right. 4 hour flight and 5 hour
airport.
Drive, and you're ready to get there, and you're tired, and you know we had to start the day at 3 a.m. or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
And so we're finally back on I-70 on the part that's open before the next exit. They were just going to go stop and just wait. And there's these four plow trucks staggered, and they're plowing up as you know as they go up, and we just got in, snuck in right behind. Uh-huh. And followed them all the way to Keystone.
Nice.
It was great. And everybody that we saw there said, how in the world did you guys get here? Nobody's getting up 70 today. I said, no, we did.
followed the plow truck.
How far is that from Vail?
Maybe an hour. We had a great trip. Friday we skied, and it wasn't very busy because the highways were closed, and a lot of people waited until the next day. Our son flew in on Wednesday to try to beat the system.
Right.
He got in a 5 hour drive to get there, and it took him 5 hours to get there.
Wow.
They didn't get until midnight.
Oh, man.
A little stressed out.
Yeah, that's brutal.
That. So, but Friday was great. We skied. Hardly anybody was there. And Saturday, we did the greatest thing ever. We snowmobiled.
Okay.
On the Continental Divide, up above the tree line, through these trails. It was just a blast.
That's
it was
awesome.
The most fun thing I've ever done.
Wow. Is that right?
That's quite a gauntlet to throw down there.
Considering
right?
the cars you have. That's,
yeah,
that's
considering the cars, considering everything that I've ever done in life. But it's way up there in the list of cool things to do.
Yeah.
And I always knew that snowmobiles looked cool, but,
right.
you know, okay, they're cool, great, whatever.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I got to try that.
Yeah.
I got to try that. And we're I felt that way about jet skiing, too. Mm-hmm. Got, jet skiing got off and like was like, that was the most fun I've ever had
so
on,
much fun.
On two wheels or whatever, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, on a jet. On a jet.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And when you're up there on the top of the ridge on the Continental Divide, you're at 12,000 feet. You're looking at the highest peak in Colorado, which is 14,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful, but you feel like you're in the, you know, the tundra. I mean, the wind is blowing and the snow is whipping and you're cold, but you're not.
Right.
You know, you're just having so much fun.
And those things are pretty reliable.
Yeah, right? They're reliable. You actually had a pull start.
Okay,
yeah.
Like a lawnmower.
Yeah, like a lawnmower. And you're sitting there and you just pull it and then it gives you the throttle. And when you let off the throttle, it has natural braking.
Okay, all right.
But then it also has a brake. But they say be really careful with the brake because they're brakey.
Touchy, very touchy.
Yeah, and if you're going, and you're going down some steep hills, and I'm following Kathy, my wife, and she's hitting 60 miles an hour on this thing. She's never ridden a jet ski, never ridden a motorcycle, right. Never ridden anything that other than a car. And she's flying. And, of course, I'm keeping up the rear, and I wanted to be in the back just to make sure. But sure. It was a blast. If you get a chance, it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I decided not to ski because Friday and then the Saturday with the snowmobiles, my legs were burning like nobody's business because I'm about as out of shape as you could possibly
be.
So my daughter Madison and Kathy went to hit the slopes on Sunday, and they were trading turns. They were flying and they were going and having fun. And Maddie, my daughter, went ahead a little bit, and Kathy came around the corner. She'd never fallen in 25 years that I've skied with her. Crossed her tips. No blocking, no nothing, straight
cross
down.
Tips. got it. Make sure this.
Check. Thanks for that clarification there,
Steve.
Sure
I was going to say that.
The P on the end of
hard
that.
Hard to do on the slopes.
But you never know.
You never know.
Crazy things can happen. You know. And she fell and didn't brace herself or anything and landed on her right shoulder.
On the snow.
Didn't hit a tree. Right. Thank God. And we were wearing helmets.
Right.
We complained about it because we'd never worn helmets before. Mm-hmm. All the kids were like, you have to wear helmets. Everybody wears helmets. Like, no, we're not wearing helmets. Well, glad we did, because she hit not only her shoulder, but her right side of her face, her cell phone literally right into her ribs. Mm-hmm. I mean, just about broke a rib because of her cell phone being there. And, of course, kind of blacked out, and then a guy skied up and said, hey, are you okay? And she's like, fine. And, of course, she is, and her skis were away from her, and somebody got them to her. And then she skied down 3 miles.
No kidding.
From there.
Tough.
With a... 2 fractures in her shoulder and skied to the bottom of the mountain, and then said to my daughter, Madison, call your dad, but don't tell him anything happened.
Right.
And I could tell in my daughter's voice the minute I picked up the phone. I was like, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, the worst.
So we went there and went to the hospital. Long story short, she fractured it. We're going to the doctor. The surgeon today, hopefully no surgery.
I bet it happened in an instant.
Like, it did so fast.
Split second.
And if you're used to skiing and not falling, you know, you get that confidence. I mean, she's been skiing all her life, yeah. And then she told me today when I was leaving my office, she goes, break a leg. And then she went, oh, wait a minute.
On second thought,
don't break a leg. But, I mean, it's her, she's right-handed. And she's trying to type, and she's trying to do titles here, and she's trying to do, so bless her heart, and we're, go easy on her today if anybody has any dealings with Classic Automall.
God bless her. And I think the worst part of that story is the guy that came up and didn't go, oh, my God, let me call Ski Patrol or something.
You know, she looked dazed. I mean, you know, there was that
shock.
But back to the helmet thing. You know, we'd never worn a helmet, but she hit her head pretty hard. And you think, boy. Yeah, how stupid would you have felt if you didn't wear the helmet? It's like these guys on motorcycles who ride without a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, and then have a head injury. I mean, listen, I'm all for freedom of choice, whatever you want to do, but don't complain and bitch about it if you get, you know.
And by the way, snow, you think it's, if you've never experienced snow, you think it's soft and fluffy, but it is hard as a rock.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff, and it's been packed down and packed down, and it's, you know, 100.
And there's rocks under it.
And there's rocks.
Packed snow is
trees.
Hard as a rock.
Yep. Yeah, so anyway, sorry we went too far off of that thing, but if you've never snowmobiled, go do it. It's so cool. I'm going to buy some. So
I'm going out to Utah and I'm going to ATV.
Ah, see, that'll
so
be
you
fun.
You can rent ATVs and do that. So, but that's because it's not winter.
When are we got our show covered when you're gone?
I don't know. I haven't. My dog is more important.
Oh, and by the way, Stuart, you have a brand new cough button, so you have to cough. And it was made in Utah.
Well, there you go. There you go. I'd like to go to Jackson Hole, be my next trip.
Yeah, I've been to Wyoming in a whiteout, actually. They get some snow in Wyoming.
Well, you know what's funny is that pretty much all over Colorado, the streets are pretty much covered in snow all the time.
Oh, is that right?
It's just the nature. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, I mean, it's people get used to driving. I don't think they put salt and sand down on the road like they do around here. Right. I think they just kind of live with it.
Four by fours.
Everybody has a 4x4. You know, and if you don't, you're just an excellent driver. I mean, I drove my Trans Am in snow back in the day.
me too.
But I'm a good driver. So I'm an excellent driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
And if you get our newsletter, which if you haven't signed up for it, classicautomall.com, and click sign up for newsletter and put in your email address and get our newsletter. It was 5 days late. I just sent it today.
Oh, that's all right.
Because I was going to send it on my trip, and then you know how you kind of get sidetracked, and then it was the weekend, and I thought, I don't want to send it then, and then I forgot yesterday because it was a special day in the Howden household yesterday.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, belated.
Mine was the 11th, really? By the way.
Oh, really?
We crisscross.
We did crisscross.
And for record, yours, this is running a little after we're recording this. The 19th is March.
March, that's correct.
That's right. My brother-in-law's birthday as well.
62, born in 62. So there's some kind of, that's some kind of weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an eclipse.
And I got a really couple of cool, I got a, yeah, I feel like an eclipse sometimes.
Right.
I mean, like, I need to, I take, what? You realize how bad a shape you're in when you go snow skiing.
Oh, yeah. Or ice skating or pretty much anything.
Anything
that. Physical.
Yeah. Walking.
I walked from the hotel to the Phillies game, and I was like, I stayed overnight and was like, oh, I can't do this.
Right. Can I tell you something? I lead bird walks. That's my hobby in my previous life. Right. I pulled my back out this weekend bird watching.
Okay?
So you know how
bad. Well, that's a contact sport, isn't it?
I'm out of shape.
Can you say coot?
I got to do warm-ups before bird watching.
Yeah, exactly. Now, who ever thunk? You know, it was funny. I was breathing better out in Colorado than I was here.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a higher altitude, but you would think it's the opposite because the air's thin.
Well, they tell you mile high, you know, makes the player, the football players, and that it gets to them, and you are up higher than 12,000 feet.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we return, we'll talk about some new inventory at the Classic Auto Mall show. We'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom.
It's a real indoor mall.
If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are, we sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show, and it's not about skiing, and it's not about. We're going to try to talk cars more than we're talk about anything else. So, is your microphone on? I don't believe it. There it is. I think he's
pilot error.
Yeah. Whoops. We don't want to have that. You know, the Denver airport might be the busiest airport on the planet. Holy moly. It is people. Anyway, we'll talk more about cars. Thanks to the Pat Travers Band for our theme song. And. Man, we had a busy week selling cars. This usually looks like a 2-week list.
It does. Wow.
And it's a 1-week list.
Record
I mean,
scoop.
It was unbelievable. The sales have been, first of all, our inventory is down to 1,004 in inventory. We were over 1,100 at one time, which was too many. Mm-hmm. We add that little caveat to that is that it was too many. We had too many cars in here and we needed to thin the inventory a little bit. And we're down to about close to where I want to be. I'd actually like to be about 950, believe it or not. But we're not complaining, and we'll take more than 950, and we'll be happy and say, thank you, may I have another.
And spring's around the corner.
Spring is in the air. Yeah. So anyway, 1,004 cars in inventory at this very moment. And where did we sell cars to recently?
Right.
Vero Beach, Florida, Hinesville, Arkansas, Pennsburg, Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Albany, Ohio, Frederick, Maryland, Milford, Delaware, Bastrop, Texas, no idea, Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, Spring City, Pennsylvania, Benton, Michigan, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, Hooksick Falls, New York, Wantage, New Jersey, Cheswick, Pennsylvania, Mehoobany, Pennsylvania, Beaverton, Michigan, Topton, Pennsylvania, Houston, Texas, Plano, Texas, Duncannon, Pennsylvania, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, Bethany, Connecticut, Philly, East Troy, Wisconsin, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Rocheron, Texas, Henryville, Pennsylvania, Cumming, Georgia, Riverside, California, and Philly again. I don't even know how many that is, but that's a lot.
15 states.
Wow.
Amazing.
In 1 week.
Amazing.
In 30-something cars that sold in 1 week, which is very, very surprising. And thanks to the guys. They're all working their tails off. I mean, the phones are ringing. The cars are coming in. You sold one a couple of days ago. And consigned a couple, and it just happens. I mean, we get so busy around here. It's like If you don't even work here, we may pull you aside to sell a car. Hey, what do you know anything about cars? Come here.
Right outside the studio, there's a 79 Chevy pickup.
Right.
Beautiful, like a chocolate brown sold. And gold. And it's just really pretty.
Just
but there's also, it's got a plow set up, and it's so pretty. Would you take that out in the snow?
Probably. I mean, if you lived in Colorado.
Yeah, right. That's a nice Colorado truck. Yeah. But I met the owner. He was sitting at the table, and I said,
right.
Hey, are you dropping off or picking up a car? He goes, I just bought that brown truck. I said, congratulations.
He walked in and bought it the same day.
Beautiful truck.
Yeah, just the same day. I mean, pretty much one of those things where a guy just walked, he just knew what he wanted. I mean, I don't know that he knew that. I mean, a lot of people will find our inventory online.
That's right.
ClassicAutoMall.com or any of the other 65 websites we're on. And they'll see it and do their due diligence and homework and then come.
They'll read about it.
Yeah, and then come. Yeah, I hope so. Because those descriptions are fantastic. And whoever does that, hats off to them.
God,
the guy is just amazing.
Who could it be?
Who could it possibly be, Steve? Steve does, for those of you who don't know or new to the show, and new to the show could be quite a lot of people because we're on WWDB Talk 860 in Philly and also high definition or HD2 97.5 in Philly.
Which is the Fanatic. So if you tune in and it's a sports show, it's at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, then you have to have an HD radio to pick it up. And if some people have it and don't know how to use it yet, but if you want it in clear, high definition, like they say, crystal clear audio, then you can listen to it on FM HD on 97.5 in Philadelphia. But 860, the good old amplitude modulation radio.
Thank you.
Geez, that's more information than I even wanted.
Well, there you go. That's what we do here.
We just give more.
Welcome 860.
Welcome 860. So we will have a lot of new listeners, we hope. And sometimes we talk about cars on the show. Sometimes we talk about food. Sometimes we talk about music. Sometimes we talk about skiing in Colorado. But mostly we talk about cars.
Mostly cars.
And not just classic car stuff. We talked about deer whistles a couple of weeks ago. We talked about my daughter today called this morning, and she's trying to figure out where her donut went for her tire. They had a flat coming out of Denver Airport on their way back from our trip and, had to pull over on the side of the road. And AAA is really in their ballywick now. They're like, we need to get that, don't we? It's like, because changing a tire on the side of the road, I don't care how seasoned you are, is a real pain in the ass.
It's not fun.
It is not fun.
And dangerous.
And there's so many things to it. I'll never forget my son one time called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's on the side of the interstate and he's got a minivan, and of course the tires are usually in awkwardly odd places in a minivan.
Underneath,
and you had this crank that you had to crank it down and figure that out.
It's tough.
And I'm talking to him at 3 o'clock in the morning. First of all, regretting not telling him better on how to change a tire. Mm-hmm. I showed him how to change a tire and work a jack. I just didn't show him how to get a tire out of a van.
Right.
So, and I hear these trucks going by, and I'm just a nervous wreck the whole time. And he got through it.
Thank God. Yeah.
It's tricky. Some of these cars, they don't have full size spares, generally speaking, anymore. They're mostly donuts, and it can be tricky and where they put them. And the one in the van, our daughter's van, was in between the front and the rear seat. It was like there was a little compartment up there, and you open that up, and that's where the donut is.
Right, and the other thing is, especially the ones that have air in them, is like, what's the condition of your spare tire? You can do a whole show on that.
Well, exactly.
Have
has anybody checked?
Have you checked your spare tire?
Of course not. Nobody has.
I have, but that's...
Well, yeah, but you're a different
breed. I'm weird.
You're weird like that.
Yeah.
But it's checking everything.
Yeah.
When you buy a car, do you check the VIN against the title? Do you go walk out to the car with the title and look at the VIN and say, oh, that matches? Because the reason you should is because 1 out of 20 cars that we get here has a screwed up VIN that either is a digit off or a letter off or a number off or something. And when you go to sell it or register it in a different state, red flag, ding, 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 and now you got a problem. So we're the problem solvers. That's why you bring your car to us, because you don't want to deal with all that crap. Because it's no fun. It takes the fun out of the part of the... And we do all that, it's like washing windows. If you're in the window washing business, then that's what you do. But if you're not in the window washing business, it's no fun to clean a window. Ever clean your own window in your car? I never do.
Well, the AAA guys aren't too thrilled about changing tires either.
No, they don't love it.
That is what they do, but they don't like it.
Yeah, just because they do it doesn't mean they have to enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, they'd much rather you be out of gas and tip a little can. Or what do they do about the cars that are dead, that are battery powered?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? If a guy's stopped on the side of the road, battery is completely discharged, What do? Do they have to tow it away?
Oh, you tow it.
Yeah, they tow it. Yeah.
Tow it to a place that's got
it. They can't jump it. Yeah, they tow it.
You can't jump those things, can you?
They have these things now, these little batteries. We have boxes here, but they make them now. They're small. They can fit in your glove box for dead batteries, and you can jump your car.
You plug them into the cigarette lighter.
Yeah, but not electric cars.
Not electric cars. If you have a cigarette lighter.
Oh, right. Well, they don't call them cigarette lighters anymore.
What are they called?
12-volt
accessory
port. Yeah.
12-volt.
Yeah, but a lot of the cars don't even have that. They're USBs now.
Wow. Or they're USB-C, or your old USB, if you're that old
school.
Yeah,
so you got to throw away all those other ones and buy new ones.
Hey, I felt like an old fossil when I was on the airplane and I had cords going to my iPad to watch a movie, and everybody else has got these sleek little things. So I told Kathy for my birthday I wanted the ear pods. Of course, I told her after she had already broken her shoulder and didn't really have much time to go shopping.
Not in the mood.
So I got a cool AMG Patronus quarter zip. So
nice.
That was kind of cool.
That's very cool. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. So 62. I'm not trying to fish for birthday compliments. I mean, I wouldn't dare do that.
Right.
So, anyway.
If you want to wish Stuart a happy birthday, it's podcast at classicautomall.com.
Exactly.
And I almost said JR's favorite word. Anyway, new inventory in. Yep. How about the 67 Plymouth GTX hardtop? Bright red over red. Correct 440 cubic inch V8. Correct A833 four-speed manual.
Great.
True GTX. The restoration is splendid, as somebody said. I don't know who said that. Maybe you, maybe Peter.
I did not write that. I don't use the word splendid. That sounds
you
like...
You Splenda. The sweetener.
A great car.
It really
beautiful,
is.
Show ready. Yeah. Just spectacular. That is a word I use.
Yeah. And then the neat thing about this GTX is that it's really turnkey. I mean, and turnkey doesn't mean you get in and turn the key, although it does mean that. But it also means that it can be used in other terms or applications that don't mean something that has a key that you turn in and it just starts right away and you don't need to do anything
That's
else.
That's right.
Turnkey can be a turnkey business where you just, well, I guess you do. You turn the key into the door and you walk in and it's ready to go. So maybe it does have key reference. Right. So what the hell do I know?
I don't know. Turnkey wife.
Turnkey wife.
Ready to go.
Turnkey wife, turnkey life, right? A happy life, happy
like
life or whatever.
Turnkey
so
wife.
Kathy can't drive her new car now.
Oh, wait, it's not a stick.
No, but still, it's going to be awkward. Her right hand.
Do you need me to take it out and run
exercise
it a little bit?
Exercise it a little bit. Just think about it. Just, you know, one-handed, you know, which is fine, but when she wants to put it in gear.
Yeah.
Or paddle shift from upshift.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it with your right hand. I mean, she could, but she's back there. She's got a thing on her lap. And she's,
how long is she in a sling? Not
we
to
don't
get
know.
Back to that.
Yeah, a couple, 3 weeks, probably at least or more. We're going to the doctor today. They got us in today, a sports medicine guy who's like the guru of...
In Morgantown? There's sports medicine in Morgantown?
Yeah, yeah. Believe that or not. Yeah, no, down in Philly area. It was recommended. My partner owned Shannondale, the retirement community in Norristown. And he was the guy we called because... You know, he's got a lot of old people around him, so I'm sure he
knows good doctors.
Orthopedic surgeons and all that, and he does, and he knows the best, and he says, this is your guy, don't even hesitate. If you have any trouble getting in, you call me, and I'll call him directly. I'm like, okay,
nice.
I like this. So we got in, we called at 11 o'clock this morning, we're in at 2:45 today. So
it's who you know.
It's got to be who you know. Good. Anyway, back to the GTX, one of 11,000 hardtop GTX produced in 67 with a 440, and one of only like 2,400 with a four-speed manual.
That's right.
You know, that's a collectible car, and it's really, really, it used to be unloved. The GTX was kind of unloved. People didn't appreciate it, or maybe it's not that they didn't appreciate it. Maybe they just didn't really know what it was.
Right.
It's a boxy-looking car. Mm-hmm. It's not, doesn't have as sexy a lines as maybe a Charger or a Challenger, some of those type of cars, Camaro, obviously, and Mustangs. But, boy, it checks all the right boxes, though. And if you're into something a little bit different than most, then that's a great car for a car show because not everybody has GTXs when you pull up at the car show.
Not 67s. That's
certainly not 67.
Right.
So now, in a completely different direction, how about the 1916 Cole 860 Series 30 touring car?
Yeah.
Norlin green and black over black, one of 79 in existence.
Right.
And it's not like they only made 80.
No.
They made 40,000
of them.
40,000 of them.
I'm not quite sure exactly what happened to them all.
Yeah.
When I did the research on this car, I'm like, where are the rest of them?
Yeah, where did they
go? There's only 79 left.
Yeah, how can that possibly be? I mean, attrition, I get it. You know, floods, fires, damage, wrecks.
Yeah.
Rust.
Yeah.
All the things that can make a car go bye-bye.
Export, maybe.
Yeah, export. 40,717 built. I mean, you just... where the heck did they go?
I don't know, but those 79 people are very close, and they have a little club.
They all know each other. Well, yeah, and it's a V8, which was only the second car that had Cadillac had a V8 in 1915.
Yep.
And then Cole in 1916, and it is a stunning car. The green, I tell you, more and more I love the color green on a car. Yeah. And I didn't used to like green, but there's some really cool greens out there. The Aston Martin that we have, DBR9 Racing Green is the actual name of the color. This one is Norlin Green. There are Fathom Greens. There are other greens that Chevrolet had that were really kind of cool, dark green.
We just got a custom Thunderbird, and I'm not going to say much about it because it's not on the website yet, but it's green. And
yeah,
it is,
I had a 72 Firebird they called the color Julep. It was a beautiful dark green.
I like a good mint julep, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe we could use that for the alcohol of choice when we do our drinking and not driving segment that we're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're going to do is Stuart's going to get drunk on the air, and then we're going to see if I can operate any kind of machinery. I don't know what...
You mean one of these out of the inventory?
Well, probably one of my own. I don't know how we're going to test the skill set. What are we going to do? Can we get the play seat over here with our driving game and see if my lap time is any different from...
Yeah.
Next to the
definitely
next.
Cones. We need cones.
Or simulator.
And so I could run over a bunch of cones and yell, woohoo, and, you know, have a big time, all that good stuff. Anyway, when we return, we'll get to some more of our new inventory on the Classic Auto Mall Show. We'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show on Philadelphia's 860 AM and 97.5 HD2. Questions or comments? Email podcast@classicautomall.com.
Whether you want to buy or sell a classic, collectible, or special interest vehicle, you need to visit the Classic Auto Mall website for more information. If you're looking to buy, you can easily search our inventory of more than 1,000 vehicles on the web at classicautomall.com. And if you'd like to know all the advantages of selling your car through consignment, the information's available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, and convenient. Plus, we sell worldwide. We're always adding new vehicles to our inventory, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on social media, and check our website, classicautomall.com.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Welcome our new listeners on the Beasley Radio Network, AM 860.
And 97.5 FM HD2.
We also are on YouTube, so there's the camera.
There's the camera. Hello YouTubers. YouTube. Yeah, yeah. The YouTube thing is fun. I like that. And I like Randy, our new marketing director.
Randy LeMay.
Yep.
But he's done a great job on the graphics on that and really getting us to have a feel and a flow and the right kind of whatever it is that you have to search for and all that stuff that I don't really know anything about, but he's doing a great job on
it. And the cars we talk about on the show are on the YouTube channel as well, so you can watch the show and see the cars we're referring to.
Right, so when we talk about the
awesome.
Yeah, when we talk about the GTX, then it will be, you'll be able to see it right there.
That's right.
And then, of course, you can go to our website and see all of our inventory, over 1,000 cars, which are all in one single building in Morgantown, the old outlet mall, the old Holiday Inn/Outlet Mall.
What's the website?
That's www.classicautomall.com, but not cam.com.
It's probably taken.
Probably taken. I wouldn't imagine
we
so.
Can
any
buy
of the
it.
Easy ones, yeah. Might get a little pricey. Other new inventory here at the mall, 1968 Chevrolet Camaro hardtop, 30,000 actual miles. Now, think about that. Mm-hmm. How many years is that car? 55. So that math thing is getting you again, right? So it's like 56 years old. Is that right?
54 years old.
54. Yeah. No, it's more than that.
No,
it's 56.
I think that one is perhaps one of my all-time fave-rave body styles for Camaros.
I was born in 65, and I'm
I was born
59.
In 62, and I'm 62. Oh. So, yeah. So, anyway, quit doing the math. Numbers matching 327 cubic inch V8. Numbers matching Power Glide automatic transmission, which is not an unusual transmission for those. They were probably a lot of them built with that. An unusual transmission for it to still have in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people switched them over to a turbo hydromatic or a manual transmission, a 3-speed or a 4-speed manual back in the day. So to see a 2-speed Power Glide is pretty interesting. You don't see a lot of those. Mostly original interior, got known history. And of course, it'll go well for the big event that we have coming up here, the Camaro Nationals, as you so
I hope it's still here.
Yeah, that will probably.
Well, I don't hope it's though. I mean, no matter what, it's cool for people to see who are Camaro fans.
Yeah, the Camaro fans will like this car a lot. This is checks a lot of the right boxes. And the fact that you didn't change the transmission to something more desirable. Sorry, it's just what it is. I like that. I like that the car has remained true to what it was. If you want to make something different, then pick something that the original engine is long gone. The original transmission is long gone.
Right.
Pick one of those and resto mod the heck out of it.
Right.
Do whatever you want. I don't care.
This is more uncommon to find one with numbers matching than it obviously than it is.
We had a Camaro convertible just recently that we just sold. It was a six cylinder, and a lot of people would take those. And it was Camaro convertible, first gen, six cylinder. A lot of people would take those and put a 327 or a 396 or a 350 or whatever in them. And we applaud the fact that they kept that one original, as they have kept this one original. And there's just so many variables in the 67, 68, 69 cars. I mean, the option list on some of those was probably pages and pages of options. And if you did this and you did that and you got that and you got this, and, you know, if you ever build a car online at some of the websites, you get this into, oh, can't have that without, you got to get rid of this. Can't have the heated seats without the sunroof. Well, you got to have the sunroof to have the lime and the coconut and then call me in the, you know.
Right. And that's why where Jerry McNeish comes in, and we've had Frank, what was his name?
Incremona? Yeah.
Wrote a book on Camaros. So these guys really know their stuff.
Oh, they do.
There's a lot of ins and outs.
They'll teach you a lot about stuff, and they'll teach you things that are so obvious they're not obvious. You just go, oh, if I'd have known that, then I wouldn't have made X or Y or Z mistake or whatever it is. But yeah, Jerry McNeish is a great friend of Classic Auto Mall, and he's the guy you see at Barrett Jackson, who is the Camaro, the Chevelle, and the Nova expert. And he is one of the chief judges, if not the chief judge, I don't know, maybe I'm just making that up, here at the Camaro Nationals, which is held in June here. And they'll have over 700 Camaros.
Wow. thousands of people.
Yeah. And it's just amazing, the show that they put on. Carl Sheffy puts it on, and he does a outstanding job. And it's got to be a full-time job for this guy. I mean, and there's not a lot of money in it, I can't imagine. You know, you're donating money to charities, and you're being involved, and it's a lot of expenses to get all the guys together. But this has really become their home. They really love the place. They sell out the entire 188 rooms of our Holiday Inn.
Yep.
And they love coming here. Mm-hmm. They love it because there's a huge parking lot. They love it because they've got two big rooms that they use, almost 30,000 square feet. They do their judging. They have their lift here. They put the cars up on the lift. They go through them completely, and they find stuff. I was watching them last year. Man, they find stuff that guys, even seasoned Camaro guys, go, oh, I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
You know, but they don't forget it. I'll guarantee you they don't not know it the next time.
Once they learn it, they get
it. Once they learned it. And there's a T in learned, by the way.
Is that right? Learned?
That's where it comes from.
That's right.
Come from East Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right.
How about the 1924 other new inventory, the 1924 Ford T-Bucket?
Yeah.
That's all you got.
The purple one.
The violet.
Violet.
White and violet over white.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, T-Buckets can be cobbled together, entry-level hot rods. Listen, we know that most of them are that way. They're the car of the... A couple of generations ago, that if you didn't have a lot of money, you got a fiberglass bucket, you got a frame, you got an engine, you got some tires and wheels, and ding, dang, ding, away you go.
Right.
And it was probably the cheapest entry level or cheapest way into the hobby. Well, this thing is not that. This thing is a Pittsburgh World of Wheels winner in 2018-2019. It's got a 454 in it. High quality build, turbo hydromatic 350. The paint is just crazy, and it reminds you of the old car shows back in the day at the Coliseums. It's a rolling work of art, and you don't say that about many T-Buckets. And no, listen, T-Bucket guys, don't get offended by what I say here, because you know it's true. I'm not saying anything out of turn here. T-Buckets are just, that's the way they are. But if you want a T-Bucket that is going to stand out from the crowd, this bad boy is right up your alley.
It's a pure show car.
It really is.
It's even like chromed underneath and painted underneath. Like if you put it up on a lift, it's still show worthy. It's an amazing car. And
do we put every car up on the lift? Why, yes, we do, unless they don't fit.
Right.
I don't think the Power Wagon went
up. Well, you can walk under that one.
Yeah, you can walk under and take fixers, so you don't need to worry about that. We got a Dodge Power Wagon that we'll talk about in the next episode or two that's unbelievable. I mean, it needs a not just a stepladder to get up onto it. It needs like a extension ladder with, you know.
I think Garrett said he climbed the knobby tires to get up there.
You kind of do a bounce up and get one leg and hope you
parkour.
Can, yeah.
But it's on the website, classicautomall.com. Yeah. It's a fabulous truck.
Yeah. Other new inventory. How about something of a fresher, newer ilk, 2017 Chevrolet Camaro 2SS, 50th anniversary edition convertible. Love this color name. Nightfall gray metallic over ebony and gray. 25,000 actual miles. So it's been driven for a high-performance collectible car that's now 7 years old. That's a reasonable amount of miles. It's not too many and it's not too few. What makes a car like these 2017 Camaros, the value is in the mileage. But the problem is that if you buy one with 500 miles on it versus you buy one with 25,000, you're going to pay exponentially more for the one with 500 miles. And then driving it hurts the value. So then what do you do? So now you've got a car that you can't drive without hurting the value. And if you're into that kind of thing and not worried about the value, which I think you should be, then go for it. Drive the heck out of it. Drive it until you don't want to drive it anymore. If you lose money, well, so be it. It's just money.
Some people are okay with that.
Some people are okay with it, some are not. But this thing is a 6.2 liter LT1 V8, fully loaded. It's the anniversary model, which is kind of rare. Automatic transmission, ready to show and go. I mean, how many millions of Camaros have been built?
A lot. Lots of special editions.
Yeah, too. Then they started back in 2010 after they had stopped in 2002, right? Was it 2002, I think, was the last year of the Camaro as we knew it. And then in 2010, they brought it back to mixed reviews. Not everybody loved it when it first came out. It certainly worked its way into its looks now, and that probably grown on people more than it has.
I think so.
I think the Challenger was the one that really hit it out of the park as far as a retro look of a new car. I think that was the best of the retooling of those, the Chargers and the Mustangs. Although the new Mustangs are pretty cool looking, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong. And I'm not a Mustang guy, but they're pretty cool looking. This thing is pretty amazing, though. I think there was only 5,000 anniversary editions built, and about 800 or so were in the Nightfall gray. So certainly makes it collectible. Other new inventory in. This is kind of an oddball piece, but I love it. The 67 Ford Thunderbird sedan. Suicide doors. 49,000 actual miles.
The black one.
Yeah, 428 these things came with. Yeah. And later they came with a 429. The
total sleeper, this car.
These were sleepers. My grandmother had one, and really? This thing was fast.
Yeah.
I remember she looked over at me, and I was about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. We were in Kingsport, Tennessee, where they lived. And she said, "Feel how fast this car is." And she floored it, and that thing was like jumped and went. I always had a soft spot. A C6 automatic with a 428 in it. These things would go.
It's really, it's kind of like an understated style.
I think they're elegant.
It's elegant.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think of it as a fast car, but the suicide doors are very cool. I mean, you just don't see it that often.
No, you really don't. And you can't really afford to restore one of these because you'll get yourself upside down really quick. So you either got to do it because you love it and because your grandmother had one and you want to remember that, or you want to do it because you think there's more value in it after you're done with it. You know, there's lots of reasons that you restore a car. And lots of ways to justify it, whether you're doing it out of love or out of money or out of a combination of the two or whatever it is. And listen, but I tell everybody, and everybody in this industry, in this hobby, will tell you this, buy what you like, no matter what it is. So when Kathy and I buy a car to resell, we like to keep our finger on the pulse and have a car or two that we buy just to resell to see if we can, you know, make sure we're keeping our chops up in the world.
Sure.
And we always buy stuff that we like that if it didn't sell, then we're not going to like that 63 Grand Prix that I bought. I mean, it hadn't sold. I've got it priced up, you know, I mean,
yeah,
but it's worth it.
It's nice.
It's a special, special car.
It is.
And but it's one of those cars that I've always wanted. So if it's tri-power, it's 8-lug wheels, it checks all the boxes. If I don't sell it, well, you know, so
you
what?
Part of your collection.
Yeah, just add it to the collection. So the collection that came and went. I had one, then had kids and had college and all that. And then I got rid of all those pesky kids and just pray that they don't call and ask for money. Hey, Dad, I got something important to ask you. Oh, this is going to be money. Yeah. I know it's going to be money.
Check that car off the list.
It's always money. So anyway, check out the 67 Ford Thunderbird when you get a chance on our website or here in the mall. We're open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 to 5. We're open Wednesdays, 9 to 8. So if you work during the day, during the week, you can come then. Or on the weekend, we're open 9 to noon on Saturday, closed on Sunday, because we got to get back after it on Monday.
Right.
Mondays are chaos around here. Anarchy.
It is.
It's batting the hatches. We have busy, 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 busy days. And, you know, 99.999% of our cars are consignment. We have some of my partner's barn finds still for sale, probably about 60 of those. And I have 4 or 5 in here that we own that are for sale, but most of our cars are on consignment. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times a guy will bring us a car on consignment and he's got a number in his head of what he thinks it's worth. Now, is that based in reality? Well, you don't always know. Maybe it's based on what he paid for it, which he may have paid too little or too much, or just the right amount. Mm-hmm. Or he's seen another one that sold that's similar to his, and therefore his ought to be close to worth that. What we tell people is sometimes we tell them that your price too high, and sometimes we tell them your price too low.
Right.
I mean, we've had many cars brought in here that a guy says, look, I want 20 in my pocket. And we said, no, mm-hmm. no. You 25 is where we're going to put in your pocket because we think we can sell it in the $30,000 range.
Right.
And that happens a lot. But people think that we're always the Grim Reaper and we're always going to say, oh, your car's not worth that. But don't fall into any false hope that just because one sold at Barrett Jackson means that yours is going to be that same price point, or at Mecum or any of those online sites or the online auctions that you see. That car could be completely different than your car. It could be exactly like your car. But generally speaking, the ones that you see that bring the super high money online or on the auction sites are one of ones or... You know, they spent a gazillion dollars on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about automotive stuff on the Classic Auto Mall show. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the Classic Auto Mall show on Philly's 860 AM and 97.5 HD2.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight. Or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide. Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web. ClassicAutoMall.com.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall show. I keep wanting to call it a podcast, but we've renamed it. We're no longer a podcast. Well, we are a podcast, but we call it a show.
We're a podcast. We're a radio show. We're a YouTube channel. Yeah, we're TikTok-y.
TikTok-y?
A little of everything.
We're a little of everything. And we're now doing all kinds of crazy stuff that I don't even know about. I just keep getting bills for stuff, and I just hope that they're
Speaking of bills, if you're interested in sponsoring the Classic Auto Mall show on 860, get in touch. Podcast at ClassicAutoMall.com is probably the best bet. Rates are incredibly low, and you can have some airtime right here on the show. We'd love to have you.
Not only do you get the AM and the FM, which all the podcasts and YouTube.
That's right.
So many, many outlets we're on. We're probably on over 20 different podcast sites, I would think. Probably closer to 30 now. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you can catch all of our episodes, or most of them, I think, on YouTube. The full ones and some curated ones as well, too, and some best ofs as well, too, that from time to time, Stuart's out of town. So I guess I could do it phone in, right? No.
Enjoy your time away in Colorado and jet skiing and whatever.
And jet ski in Colorado.
It's snowmobiling. I don't know why I keep saying jet skiing.
Yeah, I don't either. So we were talking about newfangled cars a couple of weeks ago, those automatic wipers that they have.
Newfangled cars. Wait, that's a Southern term.
That is not a Southern term.
Man,
that's a
newfangled.
That's a universal term. Everybody says newfangled.
Ancient term.
Newfangled. We got them there. Newfangled.
Some people want to Zoom or something. I say, or we could just use that newfangled teleophone. Just call me, will you?
Anyway, you guys are all fired. They have automatic wipers now. And when you have a push button start on your car, it doesn't always turn off when you push the button. Uh-huh. Like it goes to some accessory mode, and then until you open the door or hit the button again, it doesn't technically turn off.
Okay.
So we're at the gas station, a full service gas station here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
DeLong Sunoco, right down the street. They have full service. They come out.
Oh, here, not Colorado.
Yeah, no, here.
I got you.
And the guy comes out and he says, clean the windshield. And I said, great. And he puts the squeegee on there and starts cleaning it. Oh. And the automatic wipers kicked in. And he looked at me like, you son of a gun.
Like you turned it on.
Like I did it on purpose. Ah. I was like, no. Hey,
wow.
My hands are right here, pal.
That's right.
But I forgot about that.
They sense moisture.
They sense moisture somehow.
How is that?
Moisture sensing.
How do they know?
And then it speeds up according to how much rain there is.
Yeah, you turn it to one. There's the notch. The first notch you turn your windshield wipers onto. Now it will base it on how, and it's not always completely 100% accurate.
That's true.
Sometimes it's going like crazy.
Too much, yeah.
You know, and other times it's not going enough. Uh-huh. So, but it's an interesting thing that the technology that they've come out with. And we certainly don't want to hurt anybody who's working at the gas station. And I didn't do it on purpose.
Full service gas stations. We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
And there, how many are left in the world? You know, I mean, not many, but I know
in Jersey,
they don't always clean your windshields.
No, but you have to
show them cash.
It's all full service though. I mean, they have to pump your gas. You're not allowed to pump your own gas.
You shouldn't even get out of the car.
Yeah.
They don't like it when you get out of the car.
Get back in your car. It's and you got to pull in the right direction in the right way, yada, yada, yada. And I guess that's a union thing. I don't really know why.
It's a state thing. I'm not sure where it came from.
I mean, does it make any sense? What would be the argument for and against that? Like, what would be the argument to have that? Like, people don't know how to operate the fuel pump? And
it was really to protect those jobs, even though they're not highly skilled. They are very attainable.
New Jersey's... as much as we love it, is one of the most highly regulated states in the country,
right,
next to California, New York.
And, right. We love New Jersey because we have a lot of clients.
I love the state. I'm just saying it's overregulated.
Yeah, it's very regulated.
And so the gas stations are along those same lines, but it's always been that way. I remember going as a kid down to Atlantic City and you never get out of your car. They would just pump it for you. And occasionally they'll do the windows.
In the old days, of course, that's the way you got gas. You pulled up to the station, told the guy how much you wanted. And
they would check your oil.
They'd check your tire pressure. They usually had a white suit and a white hat on, and they were very friendly, and gas was 37 cents a gallon.
Good old days.
What's the lowest you ever remember paying for gas?
Yeah, I don't know, $1?
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I mean...
58 cents for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're 62.
9.
Yeah, well...
19.9 cents?
Yep. I was on the Michigan-Indiana state line where I grew up,
right,
and they used to have gas wars. There was a Hudson and a Martin, and when you go across the line, people... Before the interstate, I-94 was built through Martin. Well, both of them, but especially Martin used to give away glasses and to buy gas. And they would have gas wars, and it would be maybe a dime higher in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he'd go across the state line, and boom, these two stations would be back and forth. 19.9 and 1968, I guess, when I first started driving.
Wow.
That's a great point, because New Jersey actually is less expensive because I think they're close to the oil refineries. Is that how it works there?
I don't know.
They're a few cents cheaper.
Well, think about this. Gas is more expensive here than it is in Missouri, where I lived.
Hmm.
And it's significantly, like sometimes almost $1 cheaper per gallon.
Really?
And we have refineries here in Philly.
Yeah.
And you think, well, Missouri is in the middle of nowhere, but there's probably a pipeline that's close to there, I would imagine. And but it's usually about 45 to 75 cents a gallon cheaper in Missouri than it is here, which is a shame because the cost of living is so much higher here to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then you add on, you say 75 cents a gallon difference, and you have a 20-gallon fuel tank. You know, that's $15 a week if you're filling up once a week times 52 weeks in the year. All of a sudden, that's cutting into your food and, it's clothing.
It has the last couple of years.
Yeah.
A lot of it is mostly taxes.
I mean,
Jersey was the lowest, and then all of a sudden, we're going to raise it 25 cents a gallon. Those commuters just got clobbered.
And a lot of people don't even drive. I mean, around here, they take the train, especially if they're going into downtown Philly. I've never taken the train.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to have to try it.
It's almost as fun as snowmobiling. Let me write that down.
You know what? I forgot to wish our buddy Chuck Cantwell happy birthday last week. 90th birthday. Chuck Cantwell is the father of the GT350 Shelby Mustang. So that's not the coolest title that anybody could ever have.
And a former guest here on the Classic Auto Mall podcast, which you can go back and listen to.
Yeah, and he comes and sees us here and visits with us from time to time. I always tell the funny story is that we were leaving the Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance a couple of years ago, and it was raining, and something rumbles up next to us, and we're ensconced in our warm, closed up SUV, and Chuck Cantwell's got a floppy hat on. He's wiping the fog on the windshield.
Yeah, yeah.
And in a GT350 Shelby Mustang.
A real one. Yeah.
You know, with the windows down and, pouring down rain that was so cool. It's like, it's a car to him.
Yeah.
He's not thinking of it as a lot of us would think about it, as babying it.
It was just mules to him.
They were absolutely mules.
Cars and new development. And he has some great stories.
And of course, we were invited to his birthday party at Three Dog Garage. And of course, we were in Colorado.
Oh, I could have gone in for you.
Yeah, you could have been my
representative.
My representative, darn it. Three Dog Garage is up in Boyertown, PA. Yeah, his name. What's his name?
Oh, the
Myers. Yeah.
Rob?
No.
Ron?
Ross.
Ross.
Yeah.
Alan.
Alan Myers.
So Ross Myers, Three Dog Garage, is in Boyertown. It's an amazing collection. It's not open to the public, but they had his birthday party up there. Mm-hmm. Roger Penske sent him a, he worked for Penske as well, too,
okay,
on the race
right,
team.
Right, right.
And Penske sent a video thing to him.
Nice.
And Pete Brock, who designed the Cobra Daytona, couldn't be there, but sent a video thing. And for all accounts, it was a wonderful turnout and a great honor to a great man. Who did great automotive stuff.
Probably drove his 350 out there.
I bet he did, yeah. And, of course, last week or the week before, we were talking about the last American convertible, which was the 1976 Cadillac Eldorado. When did they come back? Mm. The first one back was in 1982, the Chrysler LeBaron Dodge 400, which were fantastic cars.
Fantastic cars.
Especially the 400.
Featured in St. Elmo's Fire, by the way.
A non-movie guy.
1983, I think that movie
came out. Yeah, non-movie guy. And then, of course, the Mustang came back with a convertible in 83.
Okay.
So, so they were only gone for about 6-7 years until they came back. I guess the safety regulations be damned. And also, people just wanted a convertible.
Yeah.
You know? And convertibles, you have to be a... Not everybody loves convertibles. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I would never ride around a convertible. And then you see people that are just riding around a convertible anytime.
Right.
You know, it's 40 degrees outside.
For sure.
They got the heat cranked up, big winter coat, and they got the top down.
Yeah.
Some people like that freedom.
I have one that I just bought last year. I'm not a fan. Actually, not a fan of convertibles.
Yeah, see? Some people aren't.
So my next car will be a coupe.
I like two-door coupes. That's my body style du jour.
Right.
I love a two-door coupe. I have two great Mercedes two-door coupes. The 2006 CL55 AMG supercharged Mercedes coupe.
Yep.
And then, of course, the beast, the 2016 S65 coupe, twin turbo V12, 700 horsepower, 650-something foot-pounds of torque.
They have some convertibles, too. Like the 911 is a
convertible. The 911 is a convertible.
Cabriolet. The Aston.
And the Aston is a cabriolet. It's a roadster, actually, because it's only got two seats.
Okay.
And the 911 has two back seats.
Oh, okay.
Well, Steve, I have a Chrysler 200.
You do.
It's a hardtop convertible.
That's right.
And, you know, there are BMWs, Mercedes, a lot of them now. If you don't like the ragtop, as they call them, then you've got a coupe for most of the year, especially in inclement weather. But when you want, you know, that nice day, you want to drop the top. Maybe I wanted more metal around me from riding my motorcycle and dumping it a couple of times. That's what the convertible is for me. It's just kind of a freedom thing.
Yeah, I would do a hardtop convertible.
Convertibles are cool because they come right up. They're not, you know, the problem is like washing a car when it's got a cloth top on it. You have to be kind of careful and you don't want to get too much soap on it.
Yeah, and
you can't go through a car wash.
Plastic window's a pain because you have to fold it just right.
And the buffeting of the air.
A little bit of buffing.
But if you've got the windscreen like the Aston has, then you hardly notice the top down at all.
Right,
I mean, you can literally be driving in wintertime and you don't really notice it. But it was funny. We were coming back. What were we driving? I can't remember what we were driving. Maybe the S65. And coming through Virginia, and it has these signs that you see regularly in Virginia. Speed limit enforced by aircraft. Well, wait a minute. Is it monitored or is it enforced? I mean, how does an airplane enforce the speed limit?
Oh, that's good.
What do they land?
I think they radio the car description.
But that's not enforcing it. That's informing, and that's a different thing. And so how about saying that speed limit monitored by... But do they really use aircraft? Are there really planes?
Yes, there are. Nobody's going to slow down if it says, we're monitoring you by aircraft.
But enforced...
Oh, yeah. Virginia, speaking of over-regulated states...
There's you one.
Virginia Highway...
Yeah. Ooh. How about getting caught with a radar detector in Virginia?
Oh, yeah.
They'll take it out of your car and throw it on the ground and stomp it until it's in bits.
With boots on,
steel-toed boots. Do you think they really? There are planes up there flying around.
I remember in California there were. Yeah.
Yeah. Were is the key word in that sentence.
Well.
Not are, but are. Were. I mean, you don't see them today, do you?
Huh. I feel like I do.
I mean, drones, maybe. That would be the thing for a drone, I guess. They could fly over you and tell how fast you're going. If you look at a car coming towards you on the turnpike or on the interstate or any highway, can you tell the one that's going faster than it should be?
No.
You can't. It looks the same.
That's right.
There's no reference to it to say, that car looks fast. It's looks like.
But
it's
they have their ways in airplanes. They can say point A to point B.
Well, they have little marks on the road that they count how many seconds it takes for you to get there. I know that in Pennsylvania, over in the center part of Pennsylvania, they have little following dots on the road. And if you can't see the one ahead of you, then you're following too closely to the guy behind, in front of you.
Interesting.
So, which is kind of weird. You see those from time to time. But I want to see these airplanes. Okay. I haven't seen one. Is it like Cessna 150?
Yeah, it's a little. They're small.
Lear jets?
Small planes.
Are they
prop planes.
Gulf Streams? Are they fighter jets? Are they going to blow you up? I mean, how do they enforce it, though? Do they land in front of you or they clip your rear?
I beat a speeding ticket in Delaware one time in a court with a jury. I'm not kidding. I came over this hill and it was 25 mile and there was a gaggle of signs and it was very confusing. And there were cars stopped ahead and I wasn't sure what was going on. And as it turned, the long story short is that it came out in testimony from the officer that he measured a car in front of me, but ticketed me. And the judge was like helpful and said, well, doesn't the radar measure the car vehicle closest to the cone? Mm. And I was like, I say all testimony was stricken from the record and I got off.
Nice. So I think the other thing that I want to do on this show one of these days is I want to use AI and I want to sing a song.
Oh, okay. Great.
So we'll leave you with that. We'll catch you next week on the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studios in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. See you next time.
This has been the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saffir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by CarSmarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.